Hello again, gentle listener. I'm Harmonia, and I'm back with another member of the family to tell you about. I know I said we were going to talk a little more about Epimetheus, but honestly, I would much rather tell you about my personal hero and mentor. We can get back to Epimetheus later, maybe much later. Have you ever had an idea so big it felt like your head might explode? Now imagine that idea is you. That's how Athena came into the world. No, really. One minute, Zeus had a terrible headache, and the next, out popped a fully grown goddess, with armor, a spear, and eyes that could see through lies. Honestly, it was kind of awkward. But that's Athena for you. She's brilliant, bold, and never does anything halfway. Hi, I'm Harmonia, and welcome to the Olympic family, where even the gods have issues. Today, we're going to meet someone I admire very much. My aunt, Athena, goddess of wisdom and war. But the clever kind of war. The kind that wins. Before it even begins. Athena is the type of person who brings a sword and a book to a battle, just in case. She's the goddess who taught heroes how to think, not just fight. And yes, she once turned a girl into a spider, but we'll get to that. So get comfy, because I'm about to tell you a story that starts with a headache and ends with a web of consequences. Picture a high hill above a restless sea. The wind is sharp and salt-scented, tugging at the edge of your tunic. All around you, the city is quiet. Too quiet. Not because it's empty, but because everyone is watching, holding their breath, waiting. At the center of the hill stands a tall woman in silver armor. Her helmet gleams like starlight, and in one hand she carries a long spear that doesn't shake, not even in the wind. But it's her eyes you'd notice most, calm, focused, like she's already solved a problem you haven't even figured out yet. This is Athena. When she speaks, people don't argue. Not because they're afraid, well, not just because they're afraid, but because they trust her. She's the goddess of wisdom, after all. She sees the bigger picture. She knows where every piece of the puzzle goes. And yet she wasn't born in the usual way. She didn't cry as a baby. She didn't learn to crawl. She sprang into the world with thunder, ready to lead armies and teach kings. So how does someone like that learn compassion or patience? Ah, that's where the story begins. Let's start at the very beginning. And no, I don't mean a cradle or a nursery. I mean a forehead. Once upon a thunderstorm, Zeus, the king of the gods and my not always reasonable grandfather, had a problem. You see, he had swallowed a goddess. Whole. Her name was Metis, and she was clever. Too clever for Zeus's liking. There was a prophecy, you see, that Metis would give birth to a child even more powerful than her father. And Zeus, who already had a habit of panicking whenever someone said, more powerful than you, decided the safest option was to, well, gulp. But that wasn't the end of Metis. She kept living inside his head, whispering, thinking, planning, and not just for herself, for her child. And oh, what a child. After months of headaches, no, I mean real headaches, thunderous ones that split mountains, Zeus begged someone, anyone, to help. Eventually, the blacksmith god Hephaestus stepped forward. You've got to give him credit. He didn't ask many questions. He just raised his hammer and gave Zeus's forehead a mighty whack. And from that crack of lightning and bone, Athena burst forth, fully grown, dressed in shining armor, and shouting a war cry that made the clouds scatter. No one had ever seen anything like her. The other gods stared. Some dropped their ambrosia. Hera crossed her arms. Apollo clapped. Ares looked nervous. That made me smile. Athena didn't start small. She didn't learn by trial and error. She arrived ready for anything. But here's the twist. Even though she was born in a moment of chaos, Athena herself was never chaotic. She was the opposite. Focused, composed, almost still. While other gods ran on feelings, Athena ran on reason. She asked questions before drawing conclusions. She studied things, languages, machines, strategies, even weaving. She made a home on Olympus, but kept her eyes on Earth. She saw mortals building cities, trying to organize their messy lives, and she thought, I could help them. Not with thunderbolts, with ideas. So she did. She gave them tools, taught them skills. She helped invent numbers and law courts and fair rules for battle. Not because she loved war, like Ares, but because she hated chaos. To Athena, a well-defended city wasn't just strong, it was smart. But don't let the wisdom fool you. Athena was sharp in more ways than one. She was a warrior, too. Just not a reckless one. When she went into battle, her shield bore the head of Medusa. One look from it could turn enemies to stone. And yet, she never used it unless she had to, because Athena believed that the best kind of strength is knowing when not to strike. I once asked her what it was like being born without a childhood. She shrugged and said, "I remember everything. I just skipped the confusion." Classic Athena. She didn't always get along with everyone. Her mind moved fast, too fast for most. She had little patience for fools, and even less for bragging. You'll see what I mean in the story of Arachne. But first, you should know what makes her such a force to be reckoned with. Let's take a closer look at her powers. Let's talk about what Athena can actually do. Not just her titles, but her tools. Because trust me, when the goddess of wisdom shows up, it's not just to give a lecture. Athena is the goddess of wisdom, yes, but not the quiet, dreamy kind. Hers is the applied kind of wisdom, the kind that designs catapults, outsmarts monsters, or negotiates peace before the first spear is thrown. She is also the goddess of war, but not like Ares. Ares charges into battle with a roar and a sword, hoping to win through brute force. Athena? She draws battle plans. She anticipates her enemy's next five moves. If Ares is a fire, Athena is a chessboard with every piece in its perfect place. She's also the goddess of strategy, crafts, mathematics, logic, and even weaving. Strange mix? Not really. Weaving is all about pattern and patience. Just like battle, lawmaking, or building a city, Athena helps humans solve problems by showing them the pattern in the mess. Her symbols tell you a lot. The owl for wisdom. The olive tree for peace. The helmet always tucked under her arm, even when she's trying to look casual. And her favorite tool? The Aegis, a magical shield that doesn't just protect, it terrifies, because woven into the center is the face of Medusa. Frozen in a moment of rage. One glance, and you're stone. But she doesn't use that lightly. Athena's real strength isn't in turning people to stone. It's in knowing how to turn them around. She's also a teacher. She taught mortals how to build ships, write laws, and govern wisely. Ever hear of Odysseus? He wouldn't have survived 10 pages of his story without Athena whispering in his ear. She didn't fight his battles for him. She taught him how to think his way out. And if you're wondering, can a goddess really care about weaving and warfare? The answer is yes. To Athena, they're both about creation. One makes cloth, the other makes nations. In both, every thread matters. I once saw her settle a dispute between two city-states before it turned into war. She brought both leaders into a room, asked them questions they couldn't squirm away from, and made them realize they already agreed. They just hadn't seen it yet. No thunder, no drama, just clarity. That's Athena's way. She's not warm and fuzzy, but she's steady, reliable. And when she does lose her temper, well, let's just say things change. Which brings us to one of her more famous stories, a mortal girl with talent, pride, and a loom. Let's talk about Arachne. There once was a girl named Arachne who could weave better than anyone in her village. Actually, scratch that, better than anyone in any village. Her tapestries looked like paintings, birds on her cloth like they could fly away. Rivers shimmered, faces smiled, people came from far away just to watch her work. She was young, but her fingers moved like they'd been weaving since the dawn of time. One day someone whispered, "She must have been taught by Athena herself." Arachne frowned. "Athena? I taught myself. My skill is mine." The whispering stopped. Now, let's pause. Mortals say things like this all the time. Sometimes in frustration, sometimes out of pride. Usually the gods ignore it, but not when the insult is aimed at Athena. Especially when it's about weaving. Athena didn't explode in anger. Not at first. That's not her style. Instead, she disguised herself as an old woman and went to visit Arachne's workshop. She watched the girl's hands fly across the loom, and she was impressed, but she was also cautious. "My dear," the old woman said, "your weaving is lovely, but should you really compare yourself to a goddess?" Arachne didn't even look up. "If Athena thinks she's better, she can prove it." Oof, there was a flash of light, a shimmer of armor, and suddenly the old woman was gone. In her place stood Athena in full divine form, eyes glowing, her cloak lined with the stormy edge of the sky. "You've invited a contest," she said calmly. "Let's begin." Each took a loom. Each chose their threads. They worked in silence, the mortal and the immortal, while the wind outside forgot to blow, and the sun held its breath. Athena wove the stories of the gods, glorious, grand, majestic. She showed mortals being rewarded for their devotion. Her cloth shimmered with wisdom and grace. But Arachne, Arachne's tapestry was different. She wove the stories of the gods' mistakes, their tempers, their jealousies. She showed mortals who had been tricked or transformed or punished unfairly. She was bold, honest, maybe too honest. When they finished, both tapestries were flawless and Athena was furious. Not because Arachne had won, but because she, Athena, hadn't. Because she couldn't, and because Arachne had dared to mock the gods. Athena didn't scream, she didn't throw lightning. She walked up to Arachne's tapestry, touched it gently, and then tore it down. "Your weaving is perfect," she said, her voice colder than marble, "but your heart is cruel." Arachne stood frozen, humiliated, and heartbroken. Some say she tried to run away, some say she tried to hide, but in the end, she fell to her knees, clutching the torn threads of her work, and Athena softened. She couldn't unhear the insult, she couldn't undo the challenge, but she could offer something else. She touched Arachne on the shoulder and whispered, "You will weave forever." And the girl became a spider, not as a punishment, but as a kind of mercy. Arachne still weaves everywhere. In corners, in trees, across the quiet spaces of the world. She wasn't erased, she was transformed. People remember the story as a warning. Don't challenge the gods. But I think it's more than that. I think it's about what happens when talent and pride get tangled together, and what happens when even the wisest goddess feels insulted. Athena was right to be proud, but so was Arachne. That's the trouble with truth. It can be woven so tightly, it cuts. Ask 10 different people about Athena and you'll get 10 different answers. Some will say she's the goddess you want on your side in battle. Others will say she's the one god you never want to challenge. Wise? Absolutely. But easy to impress? Not even close. Among the Olympians, Athena has a certain presence. She doesn't shout like Ares or flirt like Aphrodite. She doesn't party like Dionysus or sulk like Hades. She simply walks into a room and expects people to think she's respected, admired, and a little bit feared. Even Zeus, who technically outranks her, sometimes hesitates before asking her opinion, because when she gives it, it's usually right, and it usually means someone else is wrong. She's not known for hugs or small talk or spontaneous laughter, but she is known for showing up when it matters. When Athens needed a patron god, Poseidon offered them a salty spring, basically a magical fountain of seawater. Flashy, but not very useful. Athena, meanwhile, offered an olive tree. It doesn't sound dramatic, does it? But think about it. Food, oil, wood, trade, everything a city needs to grow and thrive. Athens chose wisely, and so the city was named in her honor. To this day, Athenians claim her as their protector, and that olive tree? Still sacred. Among heroes, Athena's reputation is legendary. She guided Perseus as he faced Medusa, gave him the mirrored shield so he wouldn't be turned to stone. She helped Odysseus think his way past cyclopes and sirens and stubborn kings, not by waving a wand or snapping her fingers, but by offering advice, insight, strategy. And that's the thing about Athena. She doesn't solve your problems. She makes you solve them. She expects you to rise. But not everyone loves her style. Some say she's cold, that she values brains over heart, that she punishes pride too harshly and doesn't forgive easily. Others say she's secretly the most human of the gods, not because she's flawed, but because she believes you can do better. That's why she helps humans build cities and write laws. She sees something in you worth cultivating. Some of the gods avoid her. She doesn't like gossip or vanity or chaos. She and Aphrodite, well, they get along the way cats and dogs do, politely, from a distance. Ares? He claims to be the god of war, but even he knows who really wins battles. They've never liked each other. Athena calls him reckless. Ares calls her smug. They're both right. But ask a philosopher or a judge or an architect or a student who finally understands a difficult problem, and they'll all tell you the same thing. Athena guided me. Even today, people who value justice, learning, and reason carry her spirit. She doesn't appear in thunderbolts or dreams. She shows up when someone chooses the smart path instead of the loud one. When they pause, plan, think, and that's the thing about wisdom. It doesn't shout, it doesn't flash, it waits, and when you're ready, it answers. You know, for someone so serious, Athena has been the source of a lot of drama. But it's quiet drama, the kind that makes you think instead of gasp. She's not the kind of goddess who throws feasts or flings herself into stories just to be noticed. She enters when there's a puzzle to solve, or a city to guide, or a lesson to teach. She waits in the background until the moment you need her most, And then she's there. Sharp-eyed, probably already 3 steps ahead of you. That's why I admire her. I'm Harmonia, harmony itself, and you might think Athena and I are nothing alike. She's logic, I'm connection. She's war and wisdom, I'm peace. But actually, we overlap more than you'd think. Athena doesn't just want people to win, she wants them to deserve their victories. She wants justice to be thoughtful, not loud. Cities to be strong because they're fair. And wisdom to matter more than pride. And that's what I love about her. But she does have sharp edges. She doesn't always see when someone's hurting. She can be quick to judge, like she did with Arachne. I don't think she regrets turning her into a spider, but I do think she felt something, maybe even sadness. Athena believes in standards, in rising above. She doesn't lower the bar to make someone feel better. She raises it and says, "Come up here. I know you can." That's a compliment, even if it's a hard one. But sometimes, people fall trying to reach it. That's where she and I differ. I want to catch them. She wants to watch them learn. Still, I think there's a kind of kindness in that too, a different kind. If Ares is the chaos of war, Athena is the pause before the battle, the deep breath, the careful glance, the moment when someone says, "Wait, let's think." She balances the storm, and maybe that's the thread that runs through all of her stories, not just brilliance, but clarity. She helps people see. And that's the first step toward harmony, isn't it? Because when you see the pattern, when you step back and look at the whole cloth, you start to understand how all the threads connect, even the ones that got tangled, even the ones that hurt. So if you ever feel like you're stuck in a web, or if you're facing a challenge that feels bigger than you, pause for a moment. Listen. You might hear Athena's voice, not loud, not flashy, just there. A quiet suggestion. A glimmer of a path. A reminder to think. She believes you can find the answer, and so do I. So, now you know Athena, goddess of wisdom, cities, crafts, and just a bit of righteous fury. She's one of the brightest minds on Olympus, but next time we're going to meet someone very different, someone fast, someone clever, someone who never quite stays where he's supposed to be, Hermes. He's the god of travelers, messengers, merchants, pickpockets, pranksters, dreams, and believe it or not, baby thieves. Hermes has wings on his sandals and mischief in his smile. While Athena is planning 5 steps ahead, Hermes is already out the door with your lunch, your shopping list, and possibly your sheep. And somehow, you'll still like him. He's quick with a joke and quicker with an exit. But don't be fooled. Underneath all that charm is a mind nearly as sharp as Athena's. Nearly. You're going to love him, or at least laugh at him, or maybe chase him across half of Greece. And then realize he's been behind you the whole time. So tune in next time to meet the trickster who always has 1 foot in your business and the other already somewhere else. Bring snacks. He probably will. The gods, like people, are full of contradictions. Athena teaches wisdom but struggles with pride. Hermes brings messages but never stays still. And me, I try to hold it all together because every family, divine or mortal, has its issues. But when you understand them, when you really see them, you start to understand the world a little better, too. Thanks for listening, my curious companions. And remember, harmony isn't about everything being the same. It's about different things fitting together, just like the stories we share. Until next time, Harmonia. Oh, before you go, one more thing. Traveler, if you enjoyed our time together in the halls of Olympus, there's a gift you can give in return. Just a little thing. Leave a 5-star rating and share this podcast with a friend or whisper it to the wind. The gods love a good rumor. And if you're curious about the mortal world, its twists, its triumphs, its tangled histories, come find me in my other podcast, History's Arrow. There, we follow the path of humanity, one story at a time. Until next time, walk wisely, speak kindly, and never underestimate the power of a good story. Your friend, Harmonia.
This podcast is a production of Red Buoy Media, LLC. Content is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International. Please credit us, don't sell us, and share responsibly. Until next time, fair winds and following seas.